so glad at what God is doing here at Hope Well. Lives are being transformed here at the Well. Amen. Come on, grab those Bibles and go with me to John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10, verses 5, 14, and 27. John chapter 10, verses 5, 14, and 27. To all of our elders and ministers, to our deacons, our mothers, to my own wife, Sister Swims, and to all of God's people, we are just ecstatic. Amen. Can you all help me praise God for this worship team? Amen. Amen. That was wrong. I said, can you all help me praise God for this worship team? Hallelujah. That's a little better. That's a little, not where I want it, but that's better. Amen. That serve week in and week out. We thank God for them and their ministry. John chapter 10, verse 5, 14, and 27. I'm going to read them from the New Living Translation of the Bible. So good to see Dr. Verletta Saxon in the house this morning. Amen. Verletta goes way back when we first started doing children's church before we had did some renovations with a little small room next to Sister Ross's office. She probably had about 30, 40 kids literally in one room, one teacher. I don't know how she did it, but she did it and had a smile on her face every Sunday. But such a blessing, such a blessing. We're so glad to see her this morning. John 10, 5, 14, and 27. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And the reason is this: they won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Jesus said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep. And guess what? My sheep know me. Then he said in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I know them and they follow me. God, thank you for your word. We're grateful for your word that we don't have to try to figure out life and what to do and how to do it and when to do it, God, but you've given us your word, God. As our former pastor used to say, it's your love letter to us, God. It is the purpose to inspire us and to direct us, God. We thank you for your word and the power of your word. So I pray, God, as we come this morning to the table with our cups held high, that we have the anticipation that whatever it is your word is calling for us to do, that we're going to do it. And Father, if we're hesitant in the midst of it, for Lord God, nervous about what to do and how to do it, God, you will walk with us. You will lead us. You will guide us. You will direct us. You will help us to be able to do it. And it's in the strong name of Jesus we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. As you're taking your seat, just ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, who is this? Who is this? Who is this? You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Who is this? We're in part three of our series entitled Voices. Everybody say Voices. We've been looking at scripture and learning about how imperative it is for us to be able to have the voice of God active and operating and working in our lives. Being a father is probably one of the most greatest things that could have ever happened to me. And part of that is learning the rhythm of my girls. I know if it's Carrie walking upstairs and I'm downstairs. I know if it's Kenny walking upstairs when I'm downstairs. I know if it's Carrie calling me when she's upstairs and I'm downstairs. I know if it's Kenny calling me if I'm downstairs and she's upstairs. I've learned their rhythms. I've learned their rhythms. I know the pace of their feet when they're walking on the ground. I've been able to develop this because there's a relationship that I have with them. And the reason why I have the relationship with them is because we spend time together. And because we spend time together, I learn their rhythms. Because we spend time together, they know my facial expressions. Because we spend time together, they know that if Daddy is getting up off the edge of his seat, then I best to move fast, quick, real fast, because Daddy's about to get up. They can tell by my facial expressions if I'm upset, if I'm mad, if I'm angry, if I'm irritated. They know all of this because they spend time with me. And because they spend time with me, we have a relationship. let me just jump out the gate and just already say it. You and I cannot hear God without a relationship with Him. I know there's a lot of new thought stuff going on, and people are manifesting certain things, or saying certain things, and doing certain things, and they want to be able to channel in and be able to have the right vibe and all those different things. But if there is no relationship with God, how will I ever know who it is? If there's never any time that is spent with God, how will I know, Coach Kelly, God's rhythm? How will I know God's peace? Because His voice is unique. It is consistent. It is personal. How will I know it? If there is no relationship, how will I know it if there's never any time spent together? My sister Swims and I call ourselves dating and stuff like that. You know, we stayed up late on the phone or whatever, be on the phone. And, you know, I'm half asleep. I mean, I'm almost in that second dimension of sleep. I mean, almost there, really about to tap into sleep. But I don't want to hang up the phone. So, what, you play the game? Well, you hang up first. No, I don't want to hang up first. You hang up. No. You hang up. 1, 2, 3, and we all hang up. And then, bam, nobody hung up. And here it is, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and we're still on the phone. Those times, those moments helped us to be able to learn about each other, to build a relationship. How will I know? How can I hear the voice of God? How will I know that it's God that's speaking if I never spend time with Him? How will I know to be able to know if it is the enemy talking, if it's me talking, if it's God's talking, if I don't spend time with Him, what? In His word and in prayer. Because as I spend time with God in His word, I develop a rhythm for God. I begin to know what God is like. I begin to realize what God likes. I begin to realize what makes God smile. I begin to realize what God hates. I begin to realize what God enjoys. As I spend time with God, we develop a rhythm that I begin to know God and how God is working in my life. Why? I've invested the time to spend with Him. And I believe that sometimes that we don't build the relationship that we need to have with God through His word and through prayer and through worship. It's simply because it's not a priority in our lives. And we're wondering why we don't know what to do. And we're wondering how we're going to be able to make it. And we're wondering, should I say yes? Should I say no? Do I make a move? Do I wait? Do I stop? Do I go now? Do I collect $500 and pass go? We don't know what to do because we have not spent time with God in His word to know what God desires to do in our lives. Why? Because it simply is not a priority. And get this, saints of God, I'm not talking to people who are not believers, because it would be assumed already that if you are an unbeliever, that you're not trying to hear God's voice. You're doing your own thing, your own way. I'm talking to saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled people who have not made the voice of God and learning God's voice a priority in their lives. Going to fortune tellers and psychics trying to figure out what to do, and you done open up yourself to stuff that you're not even ready for and playing around with spirits and playing around. I know. Well, Pastor, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it is something wrong with that, because you're asking someone to look into your life. You're asking someone who's manipulating certain things. You're asking someone that's been dibbling and dabbling in witchcraft to find out certain things about your life, and you're opening yourself up to doors and things that you're not even ready to be exposed to, when all we have to do is say yes, God. Ooh. I ain't got to pay you $14.99 a minute to tell me what's going to happen in my life. I can go to the word of God. Here it is. I can go to church and join the church and have a pastor that God will speak through the man and woman of God and give me what I need to live. How about that? We miss it because it's not a priority in our lives. How, as blood-washed believers, how do we navigate marriage? How do we navigate finances? How do we navigate parenting? How do we navigate life? How do we navigate the next season of what we should do and what we should not do? If we should move, do we stay? Do I do this? Do I say that? Do I take the job because of the promotion? Or do I step out on faith and start my own business? How do we do what we do if we don't hear God giving us permission and giving us the map to be able to do what we need to do? Thank you, Holy Spirit. No, I go back. We do make the voice of God a priority in our lives only to those things that we really don't want to do. preaches about forgiveness. Holy Ghost, you gotta help me forgive. I don't know how to do it. Don't know how to do it because you don't want to do it. And now the priority of the voice of God is you want to manifest in your life because I need him to help me to do something that I really don't want to do. So I'm going to ask his opinion now because I really don't want to do it. Cannot hear God without a relationship with him. Jesus here in John chapter 10 talks about the relationship between the good shepherd and the sheep. Jesus paints this beautiful picture. He's trying to get them to understand something that he is saying. Jesus paints this great picture. He says, here I am, the good shepherd. I stand at the door. About me being the doorkeeper, the shepherd who is mindful of his sheep, who loves his sheep, will stand there as the doorkeeper to make sure that he has ultimate control about who comes in and who goes out. The shepherd's job is to make sure that the sheep are safe at all times. Even when they wander off, then the shepherd is to take his staff and to pull them back to safe pastures. Even though what they have seen, even though what they have heard, even though what they have seen, even though what they have heard may be very enticing. The shepherd knows, I got to look out for the sheep because they're getting caught up by what they see, and they don't realize, thank you, Holy Spirit, that what they see can literally kill them. So I have to be the good shepherd to bring them back in. To save their life. Oh my God. Somebody ought to jump up and praise God on that one right there. That there have been things that you have been enticed by. There have been things that have caught your attention that you almost stepped up and did the okey-doke. But it was the help of the good shepherd that brought our stubborn tails all right on back. We were exposed and we saw stuff and we heard stuff that looked good but was not good for us. And it was the good shepherd that brought us back, that saved our lives from death. Shepherd says, I'm there to be the doorkeeper, to control what comes in and what goes out. The shepherd was there to make sure that no hirelings came in, that no wolves came in, because if wolves came in, the shepherd's job was not to have a conversation with the wolf and say, hey, brother wolf, why are you here? While we're talking, would you like some tea, a cappuccino, espresso, how can I help you? No, the shepherd's job is to take the wolf out to make sure that the sheep are safe. And the sheep's job, while the shepherd is there being the doorkeeper, the sheep's job is to be able to follow the shepherd and to do exactly what the shepherd says, when the shepherd says, how the shepherd says to do it. He says in verse 5, they won't follow a stranger. They won't run from him because they know his voice. Here it is, the saints of God. The better we know God's voice, the better we can discern the enemy's voice. The better I know God's voice, the better I can discern the enemy's voice. The better I know God's voice, the better I can be able to discern the enemy's voice. I know. Let me take this pastoral moment and just throw this in there as well. My mama used to always tell me, and it was good advice. Mama used to always tell me growing up, Chip, you can't eat from everybody's table. I say, well, mama, they got good intentions. Mama, they mean well. She say, Chip, you can't eat from everybody's table. She said, because everybody ain't clean. Shepherd, what are you saying? I'm saying, in this new age now that we have 15-second snippets of sermons on Facebook, you have to be careful what you're allowing yourself to be exposed to. You have to be careful what you're allowing yourself to digest, because everything that sounds good ain't good theology. Everything that sounds good is not sound doctrine. Everything that sounds good is not for you, there are some that have charisma and they know how to talk and they know how to phrase stuff. They know how to put stuff. They know how to put it in the way to sell you false hope to get your money and your goods. They know how to be able to do it. So what are you saying, Pastor Swim? I owe it to myself to make sure that I keep myself on a consistent diet and that I'm hearing from a well that's clean. I'm hearing from a voice that is pure. I'm hearing from a voice that has my best intentions in mind and not just trying to get what I got. He says, the better we know God's voice, the better we can be able to discern the enemy's voice and recognize the fact that ain't God. That's the enemy. Or that is God. That is God that's speaking. That is God that's getting my attention. That is God that's tapping into personal things in my life to get my attention, to draw him closer to me. But if I never spend time with God in his word, if I never spend time with God in prayer, if I never spend time with God in worship, if I'm never consistently digesting the word of God, I will not know his voice, and I will run from the good shepherd into the arms of wolves. Because I don't know the voice of the good shepherd. But Jesus says there that when the sheep know my voice, they will not follow a stranger, because they will run from him, because they don't know his voice. They will know mine. So Pastor, what is it that you want us to be able to understand? Here it is, saints of God. We have to be able to understand the difference between God's voice versus Satan's. Have to be able to know the difference between the two, because if we get it mixed up, if we get it twisted, we can miss moments in our lives that we may not be able to get back, because we couldn't discern the difference between the voices. All right, Pastor, what is it? Hurry up, sir. I got plans to go to Texas Roadhouse after church. I'm trying to beat the crowd there. What you got to say to me? Quick, fast, and in a hurry. What distinguishes God's voice from Satan's voice? Here it is, saints of God. God's voice is consistent with his word. Simple. God's voice is consistent with his word. I told you this the first week, that if you want to be able to get to know the voice of God, get into the word of God, and God will expose and share with you his voice. You will begin to know the patterns of God. You will begin to know the rhythm of God. You will begin to know the voice of God, because you spend time in his word. God's voice is consistent with his word. What are you saying, Pastor? God's voice will never tell us to engage in anything that conflicts with his word. Because here it is. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Pastor Mike Todd. Because regardless of what I think about a thing, regardless about how I feel about a thing, Renata, I have to take my opinions, my ideas, my thoughts. It could very well be good, Dr. Lane, but I have to take that and submit it under the word of God to see what God's word has to say about it. And if God's word says, hey, don't do that, I don't do it, regardless of if I think it's a good idea. So we don't have to go and go back and forth and try to figure out if this is God. Does it line up with the truth of his word? Or are we taking bits and pieces of the truth and creating our own puzzle to put our own truth together? Y'all looking at me like that. Don't do that. Because we all done took something and we done. It was a girl that I liked. It was a girl that I liked. I was really feeling the saints of God. I really was. I was. She might have been. She was probably going to be the first lady. Amen. No, she wasn't. Let me back up and walk light. She looking. Them hands got to move. I told y'all last week about them hands. Let me step back. Rewind. Was feeling this young lady. Y'all saved me. I almost got in trouble. I was gonna stay with the deacons this week. Amen. I had to back up. Let me get it right. And so I was feeling her. I was attracted. But what I saw, even though other things weren't adding up. And I was taking bits and pieces. Okay, God, I understand that, but she this. And I started putting my own person together. I was taking a little bit of truth and put it in there. I said, well, Lord, maybe you sent me in her life to lead you to her. Lord, maybe you want to use me in her life, God, so that she could be an amazing woman of God. Maybe you put me in the, God, maybe I'm the modern day Esther that you sent me for such a time as this, Master. Mama had heard me talking about her. And my mom asked, well, she said, Chip, let me see a picture of her. Showed the picture to Mama. Mama said, leave her alone and leave her alone now. I was taken aback because I did what everybody else do now. I said, Mama, you judge her. She said, Chip, leave her alone and leave her alone now. I took the truth, Dr. Saxon, because of what I wanted. And I mixed it together to create something that was out of the will of God. Because I knew what his word said. But my flesh was taking over. And I saw what I saw, and I liked what I saw. And I wanted it. And I was willing to manipulate scripture and turn around to fit what I wanted. Why? So I could have it. Oh, y'all looking at me strange. Pastor, I can't believe you. I can't believe you. Because we all have done it some point in our lives. But it helps us to be able to know, okay, hey, God's word, God's voice is never going to engage in anything or tell me to engage in anything that will conflict with his word. Why? Because his word is his voice. His voice is his word. So why would they compete against each other? You can easily discern, is this God or is this the enemy? And the question you have to ask yourself, which can be a tad bit scary because you may not get what you want, is this conflicting? Even when you get advice from others. I never forget, I heard somebody, person in the church, told me, a young preacher that could have messed me up if I had listened to him, had told me that it was all right, that if I was in a relationship, in a consistent relationship with someone, that we engaged in sex. I said, what? Since I started thinking and calculating, looking at scripture, I said, wait a minute, now they just said, Lord, they've been saved longer than I have. It sounded good. Y'all up there getting nervous because I done said sex in church. Y'all done heard it plenty of times, y'all. Don't do that to me. Don't do that. Don't play me like that. Don't leave me out here by myself. They took what they said and I put it under. Yes, they are giving wise counsel, so to speak. But I have to take what they said and place it under God's word to see what God's word had to say about the matter. And not what my flesh had to say about the matter, not what they said about the matter, but what did God say about it? Why? Because the word of God would never conflict with the voice of God. The voice of God would never conflict with the word of God because his voice is his word and his word is his voice. God's voice is consistent with his word. So here it is. Here it is, saints of God. Well, if God's voice is consistent with his word, then what does the voice of Satan sound like? Here it is. Satan lies. Scripture says that he's the father of lies. His lies will entice us. Why? Because he'll know how to sprinkle a little bit of truth in that lie to make it look like truth and really what God may have said, but it will lead us to question God. Look at what John chapter 8 verse 44 says. He says, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do evil things. He does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it's consistent with his character, for he is a liar and a father of lies. He knows how to put the package together. He knows how to sprinkle a little bit of truth so that we can go back and say, well, listen, this scripture says this in totality, when we've taken the scripture out of context to only fit what we want to get what we want. Amen. Because we saw back in the beginning, there's nothing new in Genesis. Genesis 2, 16 through 17. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you shall die. You will die. You will die. You will die. If you eat of this tree, if you mess with something that I have intentionally prohibited you to mess with, you will die. Then what happens in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4? Satan comes in on the scene and he tells the woman, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be open as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. What did he do? He took when she was at a vulnerable moment and he sprinkled some truth in there to get her to question, did God really say this? Let me say this. Let me take another pastoral moment and throw this in there as well. Here, saints of God, this is why we have to disciple our children. This is why we have to put the truth of God in our children. That's why every second and fourth Sunday, the fellowship hall should be packed with kids, because we are instilling within our kids a biblical foundation so that they can be able to know truth at a young age. Why? Because the things are having to be exposed to and deal with now, they need truth. That's why parents, we just can't depend upon the church to be able to educate our children. You go back to Deuteronomy, it was the husband's job. It was the wife's job. The parents were the children's first pastor to be able to teach them the things of God, to teach them the word of God. Deuteronomy said, hey, I need you in the morning when they wake up, tell them about the word. At noontime, tell them about the word. And when they go to bed at night, tell them about the word of God. Get that word down on the inside of them so that when they're in compromising situations, they can be able to pull on the truth of God's word to be able to live. Amen. And not just take the trendiness of society now and take that as truth. What does God's word say? We can't pick and choose what is truth. We got to take it for what it is. We want to pull on truth when someone may be in a same-sex relationship, but we don't want to pull on truth when you're lying. If you don't say nothing, you make yourself look guilty. We can't pull on truth in areas that we don't struggle with. We pull on truth as a whole and stand behind what God's word has to say, y'all. He tells her, you won't die. I've heard people preach. I heard preachers preach this, and they just beat up on Eve. But my question is, where's Adam? where? Hiding behind someone. Where's Adam? When he should have been the first line of defense to protect her against the father of lies. Tells her, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will open, and as soon as you eat it, you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. So the difference between God's voice and Satan's voice is that Satan lies. But then here's the third thing too about Satan's voice. Satan offers other alternatives. Satan will offer a shortcut to get to where you have to get to. Satan says, hey, you ain't got to get married. It's just a piece of paper. We can be together umpteen years, and guess what? As soon as we hit that magic number, we're common law marriage. Oh man, y'all left me by myself. I don't like that. Y'all left me by myself, but that's okay. I'm gonna keep talking. Satan will offer shortcuts. He will offer alternative options and other offers. When we take shortcuts in following God's word, we miss God's process. And when we miss God's process, the process is where we find out more about God and more about ourselves. Listen, 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul is given some instructions from Samuel. Samuel tells him, when you go in, I want you to destroy everything, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every goat, every sheep, every pigeon, every bird, everything. I want you to destroy. Look at what he says. One day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king of his people, Israel. Now listen to this message. Listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord God of heaven's army has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. A few verses later, Samuel shows up on the scene. Samuel gets there. He says, when Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully. He greeted him, may the Lord bless you, Brother Samuel, he said. I have carried out the Lord's command. But Samuel replies and says, wait a minute now. If you really carried out my commands, why do I still hear sheep and goats? Brother Moses, he said, okay, you've greeted me with this great hospitality. I thank you for the fried hot water, cornbread, and greens you got back there in the kitchen cooking, and the red Kool-Aid and the fried chicken. I appreciate all of that, but why do I still hear animals? In all reality, when he showed up on the scene, it should have been nobody but Saul. Saul took a shortcut. Surely God wouldn't want me to waste all these resources. Surely God would want me to be a good steward of what he has placed in my hands. And because he allowed the enticement of greed to be greater than God's force in his life, this alternative that the enemy offered in his ear caused him to disobey God. Because I don't care what people may say, saints of God, partial disobedience is still disobedience. Well, Pastor, but nothing. Partial obedience is still disobedience. He gave him a command for a reason. I want you to destroy everything. Why? They have risen up against heaven's army. I need you to get rid of everything. And not pick and choose how you want to obey. And cookie cut your obedience to fit what you want. And still say that you please God in doing it. But you took shortcuts and slid. God did not say this. Let me go ahead. Because truth be told, we're always looking for shortcuts. Okay, if you don't say nothing, you look guilty. I said, we're all looking for shortcuts. We're all looking for a way to be able to, how can I obey God and still get my heart's desires? How can I please God and do what God has told me to do? And still sell some of these sheep and come out on top real good. But his obedience was half. And God said, you disobeyed me. God, you disobeyed me. He didn't do what I said to do to the max. You pick and chose what you want to do. Why? Oh God, let me walk on this one. Because your heart's desire was never to please me. Your heart's desire was to please yourself. Oh, saints of God, I've been guilty where I have disobeyed God because I was trying to look out for myself. And Mother Abby, I never have the intention to fully obey God. I'm trying to figure out, let me calculate this thing. Y'all know how we do it. And my heart was far from him because I was still desiring to do what I want to do. But I'm telling you, saints of God, if we can be able to hear the voice of God and to obey, the Bible says there would be no good thing that he will withhold from us. If we can do exactly what God says, when God says to do it, how God says to do it, saints of God, we will be living our best lives. We'll be living our best lives. He will open up the windows of heaven and pour out our blessings that we won't have enough room to be able to receive it. Why? He realized that he can trust us in being obedient and doing what he has said to do. Because here's the truth of the matter, and I'm done. As long as you hear his voice, you will be all right. Carrie and I was at the house, and she was looking for me. She just kept calling, she kept calling, she kept calling me. Trying to figure out where I was. I'm moving around doing something because my location kept changing. And she, Daddy, where you at? Daddy, where you at? I'm trying to tell her where I'm at or whatever. And so we're in the house and she keeps saying, well, Daddy, are you here? I said, no. I said, I need you to follow my voice. I said, I need you to follow my voice. I said, wherever you hear me, I need you to come close. She said, but I don't see you, Daddy. I said, baby, you don't have to see me. I need you to hear me. I said, as long as you are able to hear me, you will be okay. If you keep on listening, you will find out where I am. I just need you to keep on listening. Everything will be fine, and you will get to me in due time and in due season. If you can just keep following and going after where my voice is, who am I talking to today in this church? Who am I talking to online this morning? That this is a word for somebody, that if you can just follow his voice, everything will be okay. I know you want to see him. I know you want him to put a hand out or something, but if you can just follow his voice, everything will be okay. I know you may not be able to see him, but if you follow his voice, everything will be all right. Have you ever had a season in your life where God wasn't showing himself the way that you desire him to show you? But all you had was just whispers, almost like trails that he would leave behind to get you to him. When I can't see him, I gotta trust his voice. So that's why, saints of God, our relationship with God needs to be tight. That's why our level in the word has to grow. Because there may come a season in your life where it's dark. He ain't showing himself like he did before. And all I got is his voice to lead me through dark valleys. Maybe a season where it's rough and he just ain't showing up. And all I have, promises of God. When I used to go see Elder Hodges, she would start talking, get happy about the Bible. She would take the word and she just hug it. Because she realized that it was in the word that helped her walk through grief. It was the word that helped her walk through loss. It was the word that helped her walk through sickness and illnesses. When I can't see him, the only thing I may have is his word. When he's not showing himself like he has in the past, all I may have is his voice. Somebody's saying, well, Pastor, that sounds good, but he's not talking to me. Have you opened your Bible? Have you opened your Bible? And not just some unintentional, not just some going about way, but have you opened up his word to see what his word has to say concerning your current situation? That when you're lonely, all you have is a promise to hold on to. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. When you're dealing with provision and lack, all you have is my God shall supply. All of my needs. According to his riches and glory. That when I'm unsure about myself, all I have is his word that tells me you were fearfully and wonderfully made. That before you were formed in your mother's womb, I already had a plan and a purpose for your life. And when he may not show himself in ways that we would like, a ways that we desire, I got his word. I got his word. I got his word. And when I got his word, I got his voice. When I got his voice, I got his word. Don't you know when you don't know what to do and you're down, Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it? Don't you know that God will work through other people? It wasn't by coincidence that they text you. God put you on their mind to show you and to remind you, I ain't forgot about you, that I'm so bad that even though I'm sitting here at the right hand of the Father, I can get you on somebody's mind and heart to text you, to email you, to call you, to come by and sit with you just so that you can be able to see and know that my word is true. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Yes. When I have his word, I have his voice. And if I got his voice, I got his word. So that no matter what life may bring, no matter what may happen in life, I'll be all right. As long as I keep listening and following his voice. Who am I preaching to this morning? whether you're in person, whether you're online. God is using everything around you as a classroom, as reorientation to his word, to get you reacquainted with his word so that you become familiar with his voice. It's a shame that we trust the voice of our GPS system more than we do the voice of God. That we'll do exactly what they say, reroutes and all. Hello. But we'll shut down God speaking to us. Or question, is this really God? Do you really want me to do that? Holy Spirit is speaking to someone today about critical decisions that you need to make in your life. Holy Spirit is dealing with someone today about critical moves that they need to make in their life. I know it sounds real old school, but church membership still matters. Active church membership still matters. This thing called being a believer of Jesus Christ was never meant for us just to be able to walk it out and do it by ourselves, but he created something called the church. A body of believers to come together, to encourage each other, but to build their faith in God, to go out and transform the context that God has placed in. As somebody here, you may be a college student, you may be new to the area, you may be even been kicking it with us for a while. You say, Hopewell, that's your church. You say, I'm your pastor, and I'm all cool with it. I'll take it. Love it. It's an honor. It's a privilege. But you haven't made it official. I like what Pastor Mark Moore says. He says, anything that stays uncovered soon spoils. Leave some good macaroni and cheese out. I'm talking about the time, the kind where at the top it done got a little brown and stuff like that, a little crispy at the top. Leave some good potato salad out and try to eat it the next day. You'll find yourself conflicted to two places to run. Do I run to ER or do I run to the bathroom? Anything uncovered too long will eventually spoil. But there's something powerful about having someone to keep watch over your soul. There's something powerful about having someone and having a group of people that are praying for you and looking out for you. There's something amazing about having a pastor that can pray over you, keep watch over your life, that God can deal with that pastor to give you certain stuff for your life. And someone in here today, someone watching online, you've been conflicted. I don't know. Listen, I'm not there. You don't have to be here. It's Hopewell anywhere. And if you're online right now, if you're watching via Facebook, if you're watching via YouTube, I want to tell you now that you don't have to wait any longer. Go ahead and make this thing official. Let me become your pastor. Let us become your church family. Love on you, walk with you. Not just me, but a grand group of people. If you're in this building today, you've been walking uncovered. You've been walking without others to walk alongside of you and with you. But Pastor, I don't really do. I don't see the purpose of it, but let me tell you. You see the purpose of gym membership at Planet Fitness. You see the purpose in doing your Greek organization and your groups. Why not? Why not have a place that I'm committed to? And get this, and they're committed to me. And my growth and my development. to be all that God has called for me to be. First invitation, if you don't have a church home or a covering, let this invitation speak to your heart. Secondly, if you have a prayer request, our prayer team, our ministers and the elders are coming right now to pray with you, to pray for you, because we believe in the power of prayer.